I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Michael Cole is the commercial appeals Memphis Grizzlies beat writer. You can follow him on Twitter at DeMichaelC. DeMichael, let's get to the Grizzlies. I know maybe you're not a massive Tennessee basketball fan, but you did go to school there. What would you do about the Rick Barnes dilemma? Where he's clearly a very good coach.
Right.
But yet again, you just it feels like Groundhog Day.
Feels like Groundhog Day, right? that's the perfect way to put it, Jeffrey. I mean, we've come to realize this is who Rick Barnes is. And, you know, you mentioned I went to Tennessee when he first got there in the earlier years, you know, as he started to turn the program around, everyone was just satisfied.
Yeah.
You know, when I first got there, Tennessee was going 15-15, you know, 16-16. The Kentucky game was the only game that would fill up Thompson Bowling Arena. And then we were projected to go 13th in the SEC my junior year, I believe, 2014. I mean, not 2014, 2017, 2018. And then they win the SEC in the regular season.
Yeah.
So ever since that Grant Williams, Admiral Schofield team, you know, set this standard, Rick Barnes has been held to a higher pedestal, and he isn't elevating from here. Basically, he got the program out of the mud, but now that the program is out of the mud and they're going to the NCAA tournament and they're getting, you know, a 2 seed, a 4 seed, a 3 seed, et cetera, he's not doing nothing with it. I think 4 of the 5 tournament losses are to a 9 seed, 2 11s, a 12.
Yeah.
And it's unacceptable because it was kind of the one thing. When Rick Barnes came here, everyone was saying, oh, well, you know, he's only been to one Final Four, and it's kind of become more than just, you know, this thing that's said about him. There's some realness to it. I've said, you know, there are certain types of coaches where their playing style, and in his case, the offensive playing style is the way they play on offense. It's similar with Virginia,
yep,
but it's not the exact same thing. When you play that slow style of offense where it's so inside out, you're susceptible on any given day to get beat by an opponent who has a good night.
No, I mean, to me, the thing that was interesting about last night was it was very similar to the Lafayette script where you felt like the Vols were kind of dominating, yet they weren't pulling away. And then in the second half, I mean, you know, FAU puts up 40. In the second half, and Tennessee couldn't keep up. And I don't know, man. I look at, you know, the winning scores last night. Every winning team, with the exception of UCLA and then FAU, but FAU puts up 40 in the second half. Every team basically got to 80. And that's just not Tennessee basketball. All right, let's turn our attention to the Grizzlies. It's this interesting roller coaster where I'll ask it this way. What do you make your first year on the beat? Because I feel like you got a little something of everything.
Yeah, so you know, last season I came early in the season, right? So I didn't get the full, you know, I came right after the Ja Morant injury against the Atlanta Hawks, and when I got there, it was all paradise, right? They go on, you know, Ja gets back, they go on a you know, franchise record winning streak while Dylan Brooks is out, all these guys in health and safety protocols, and they're winning, and they have this historic season. It was just paradise. It was paradise. And then this season comes. This is the first time I've seen the Grizzlies face so much adversity on this beat. And, you know, they say adversity reveals character, and we're learning a lot of things. You know, I don't think we knew in Memphis that Dillon Brooks was a villain, and other people didn't like him, but now they really don't like him. And then, you know, there's everything centered around John Morant. And then there's everything, you know, just centered around how this team has handled losing, how this team has handled Wendy. It's a lot going on, but first full season on the beat, man. I'm enjoying it. I think, you know, at the end of the day, it's a very, very outgoing team in a way. So it's a lot of stories there, and as the fans have been able to see, it's so much going on with this team. And what makes this team stand out to me is you can easily see why so many different players are important. Whereas in basketball, usually there's a 2-3 player hierarchy, and then there's the rest of the team. But with this Grizzlies team, I mean, people are like asking me every single day, when does Steven Adams come back? And you can make an argument that Steven Adams is your, what, fourth most valuable starter, third? Depending on who you may ask, he may be second. So it's just that shows kind of what makes this team stand out in a different way.
Yeah. Mark and I didn't really talk about it, so I think you were in the room. What did you make of Dillon's comment? He said it, I want to say maybe Tuesday. It was kind of in passing. Jeff and I talked about it a little bit, but Mark and I didn't really, there's so much else going on, and I feel like we just kind of blew past it. What'd you make of the comment by Dillon when he was talking about Kyrie? And, you know, he clearly admires Kyrie's game. Like, I think that's more than obvious. But did you make anything of the comment, you know, that's mid-range God? That's what, you know, that's what I want to be when I can start taking more, you know, when I get where I can start taking more shots. What'd you make of that?
I took from that he simply meant when he makes more shots, and he, that's how he said it. That's kind of what I gathered from it, because Dillon Brooks has taken a lot of shots. You know, if you go back to his rookie year with Conley and those guys going down, he had the ultimate green light, and then Taylor Jenkins comes in with everyone has the ultimate green light under Taylor Jenkins, and it got to the point where we started asking the question, when is Dillon Brooks going to take less shots? Last season, you know, there was Desmond Bane breaking out. There was Jaren Jackson Jr. and Ja, and it was like, okay, Dillon is still taking more shots than some of those guys. But this season, you're starting to see the shift for the first time where even though, you know, we get caught up in the games where he's 4-17 and 5-18 and whatnot, but there have been more games this season where he's taking a backseat to Dez, Jaren, Ja, and you know, letting those guys take most of the shots. So I think what I gather from it is he knows this stretch where you go back to mid-January up until the end of February, and you can kind of put early March into it before he got this recent hot stretch. It was the worst stretch of offense he's ever played. That's saying something because people in Memphis have been critical of his offense for a while now, and this was the worst stretch that he's had. So I think it's just him saying when he makes more shots. That's what I gather from it.
Yeah, because I'm in the same boat. I kind of think – to me, I took it as he's clearly been bumped down the pecking order in terms of number of shots.
Right.
I didn't really make anything more of it. I'm kind of like you. It's like, okay, if he starts to make more, clearly he's going to be allowed to take more. And that's kind of, I didn't necessarily view it as some foreboding of this is his last year here. It may very well end up being his last year in Memphis, but I didn't take it like that.
No, me either. Yeah, me either. I've never gathered from Dillon Brooks that he is unsatisfied with his role. I mean, if you look at one of the first signs you can see when a player is not satisfied with their role is their defensive effort. That's one of the first things. You know, they don't do the dirty work. They don't want to do those things. They're saying, no one's going to do it for me. But you don't see that from him. I mean, every possession, I don't see Dillon Brooks take possessions off. And, you know, that to me shows his commitment, you know, through that. You don't see him pouting on offense. You see him call for the ball sometimes and he doesn't get it. So in that case, you know, you watch him immediately after that play. That is when some players show it on their face or they run back slow to the other end, but I haven't got that from them.
Talking with DeMichael Cole of the Commercial Appeal over at commercialappeal.com. He's got a piece up about Jaren Jackson and his offensive surge. This is kind of the key question that I have, DeMichael. Do you feel like this has been clearly his offensive play? Like, he's just been an animal recently. Do you think with the return of Ja, do you think it's still going to be more of the same, or do you think it will go back to, you know, maybe a good night for Jaren is, you know, 20 plus? Yeah. How do you kind of see it shaping out as we're going to see more of them together?
Yeah, Jeffrey, it has to be more of the same. I think this is what it has to be. You know, Ja is one thing about Ja is he has a high IQ. Just like we've been watching the Grizzlies over the past couple weeks, and Jaren has turned into this monster of a player, Ja's been doing the same exact thing. And part of Ja's thinking, as he said, into coming off the bench and, you know, that whole thing was he saw how the team would be playing well. He saw how Jaren Jackson Jr. had been playing well. And his first game back, Jaren goes for 37, and he scored. I mean, he only hit one three-pointer. It's not like the Milwaukee game where he scored his career high and he hit 9 three-pointers. This was complete dominance. So with that being said, I think Ja realizes it. I think his team realizes it. You mentioned the piece that I wrote, and even in that piece, I kind of went back to the point that if you look at the Grizzlies, Jaren Jackson Jr. has always been the key. We were writing that last year. People were writing that the year before that. But he, I mean, it's so obvious. If you look at just isolation scoring, right, we talk about the Grizzlies, how they struggle, you know, in half court offense. Ja Morant is in the lower third percentile in the NBA in isolation scoring. Desmond Bane is in the lower third percentile in isolation scoring. The same thing is for Dylan Brooks, lower third percentile. None of these guys are above, you know, 40%. Among NBA isolation score, according to NBA.com stats. Jaren Jackson Jr. is in the 85th percentile. He stands out above the pack by a lot.
Yes.
In that area. So it's now the team realizing that he's the guy. Now it's just the simple things, right? You got to stay on the court. You got to keep demanding the ball. And if he does those things and the Grizzlies take care of him, I think Ja has a high enough IQ where he's understanding enough. He's shown, you know, he's not an egotistic guy by coming off the bench for the first time. I mean, I don't think he came off the bench in college either. So this is the first time he came off the bench in a while. I think it can work out from that perspective.
Yeah, because it's not like Ja's obviously a ball dominant, but he's a ball dominant guy, but he's the point guard. It's not like he's Russell Westbrook. Like, you know what I mean? Like Ja's capable of seeing the floor. Like, Ja's fine with a night where it's like, you know, kind of the stat line was kind of similar to what it was against the Rockets on Wednesday, where it's like 17 points, you know, 9 assists. It was obviously limited minutes. But I don't sense like Ja's going to have a problem, you know, let Jaren get some shots up.
Yeah, if you go back and look at Ja last season, the most improved year, the super breakout year, he only scored like at a supreme high level early in the game when certain guys didn't play, when Jaren wasn't playing, or when Dez was out, or when Dylan was out, or when, you know, he has that point guard cerebralness to him where he likes to get guys involved. This is the best playmaking season he's had. If he likes to get other guys involved, he is more ball dominant, as, you know, we've seen, you know, over the last couple years when the Grizzlies are playing without him as opposed to with him. The ball moves much more when Ja is out of the lineup, but he still, you know, likes to get his teammates involved. It just looks a little bit different. But, it's definitely something that, you know, I think can work overall. I think Jaren will still get his touches. Ja will get his, too. And, I mean, it makes for a potent 1-2 combo at the end of the day.
When do you think we'll see Ja return to the starting lineup?
I think it'll be one of the next couple games. If it's not today, it'll be in Atlanta for sure. So what basically Taylor Jenkins said, you know, it's something that they're considering over a couple games. So it's a possibility today. And if he comes off the bench today, I'm almost certain he'll be back in the lineup against Atlanta.
Do you think it was something we saw last year? We haven't quite seen it as much this year, and maybe it's from an effectiveness or not. Do you think we're going to start to see more of Tyus and Ja on the floor together?
I don't think so. It works when you're playing teams, let's say, last season there were a couple times they did it, and it's only against those teams that have multiple guys who are pests on the ball. So Patrick Beverley last year in the playoffs, you want to get Ja. I mean, he's already playing extra minutes in the postseason anyway, instead of the 32 he's playing per game in the regular season. So Patrick Beverley, the way he pounds you on the ball, he's making you expend, you know, extra energy. So, yeah, let's bring Tyus Jones into the game. And here, Tyus, you bring the ball up the court while Ja can get a little bit rest as he gets back across the court. It's those little things like with energy, you know, preservation and stuff like that. But in terms of just lineups, no. I think what they're liking right now is putting Luke Kennard and Desmond Bane on the floor together, and that's giving them, you know, something we haven't seen the Grizzlies have.
What have you made of Luke's play recently?
He's finding his way. He's finding his way. He's figuring it out. And when I say he's figuring it out, it's he came from the Clippers. I don't think a lot of people have pointed this out. The Clippers are old.
Yes.
Like, the Clippers, I was listening to Ty Lue actually talk. I think it was yesterday or earlier today. And he basically was saying, look, we're one of the older teams. We play slow. They got Kawhi Leonard, you know, holding the ball in the half court to 10 seconds on the shot clock. If it's 10 seconds on the shot clock while the Grizzlies got the ball, it's much more common for the Grizzlies to already have their shot up. Like, the Grizzlies play super fast. They play free-flowing. It's completely different from the Clippers style of basketball. There was an adjustment that has to be made there because now he's taking all these trends. You see him. He takes a lot of transition three-pointers. He's taking, you know, a lot of shots, just one dribble into his shot. And he's ball handling more than he was with the Clippers. So it's a different situation, but he's getting comfortable. And, you know, no one has any problems with Luke Kennard shooting three-pointers, no matter how it looks, you know, or how many defenders are around. No one has a problem with that here in Memphis. They want him to shoot as much as possible. And he's got the message.
No, I mean, to me, I think that's kind of eye test. That's what it feels like. He's just being more aggressive.
Yeah.
I also feel like the other thing we saw this, I don't know how frequently we'll see it, but this team struggles from the free throw line. Like, they have, mm-hmm. they've done it all year. I did note that, you know, late in the fourth quarter when it was going to come fouling time, like, they had to get him on the floor because he's one of the guys you can trust at the free throw line. Like, I do feel like that could be something that makes a difference in a playoff game.
It's the little things. It's the smallest of things. Think all the way back to that game against the Celtics earlier this season, right? When the Grizzlies were at home against Boston and I think Ja missed a couple free throws down the stretch, you have Luke in the game for stretches like that. Or the game against the Lakers in L.A., the Shannon Sharp infamous game. But down in that game, I mean, Steven Adams and Brandon Clark were missing some free throws, and then the guards missed some free throws as well. You got a guy like Luke Kennard, he's going to ice the game. I mean, we're talking about a guy who, for his career, is over 87, close to 88% from the free throw line. And this season, he's at 94%, like 93.8% with the Grizzlies. He doesn't miss. So that is a luxury that, you know, this team hasn't had outside of Desmond Bane.
Come playoff time, do you think the thing about Xavier that fascinates, it's undeniable he's playing really well right now.
Mm-hmm.
Have you gotten to the point where you feel like you would trust him in a playoff game?
Only off the bench. Only in spurts.
Yeah.
And it's matchup-based, too. If you're playing a team, let's say the Clippers, you're playing a team that likes to play small and all that.
Or even the Warriors to a certain degree.
Yeah, even the Warriors to a certain extent. You don't have to have him on the floor as much. Those are the type of teams you can put Santi at the five. You can play Jaren at the five a little bit more and put David Roddy at the four and get those lineups cooking a little bit. And this is with Steven Adams, you know, back healthy, of course. But if he's your starting center in the postseason, I don't think that bodes well.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.